If we do see a situation where it looks like the United States really will go into a recession, then I don't think the Fed would hesitate in terms of cutting interest rates.
There's a good deal of turmoil in both domestic and international markets, politically, geopolitically, and economically, and at the market level. With me now to discuss these matters is Annabel Bishop, Chief Economist at Investec in Johannesburg. Annabel, shall we start with domestic issues first of all? You kindly sent me a Rand note in the last 24 hours. What is your view of the Rand at the moment? You seem to be predicting further volatility.
Hi, Lindsay. Yes, I think that typically you do see quite a bit of volatility in the domestic currency in the middle two quarters of the year. In other words, your Northern Hemisphere summer period. And of course, you know, the month of August being particularly key in that regard, we see heightened sensitivity to global market events. So if you have a risk-off event, you know, we saw earlier this month the escalation in trade war tensions between China and the United States. Obviously, concerns at the FOMC, the United States, might not cut interest rates as much as previously were expected. Those concerns to the markets were highly sensitive. They were exacerbated in terms of the market impact, and that's quite typical for this time of year, given that trading conditions are fairly thin, as the bulk of market traders in the Northern Hemisphere do tend to go away on their summer vacations now.
Yes, they do. And in your notes, you say foreigners sold 3 billion rands worth of equities net of purchases last week, 8.3 billion this month, today 17.4 billion since the last portion of July. And that just seems to be a trend. Again, is that a seasonal factor, do you think?
It definitely can be a seasonal factor. And, you know, what we're really getting at here is that if something happens that's seen as negative, you know, for markets, such as perhaps weakening global growth, you know, that tends to translate through into a drop equity markets. So those types of concerns or fears tend to be exacerbated or highlighted, you know, possibly out of proportion in this period because the trading conditions just are so thin. You know, there's not enough liquidity to really absorb such events.
Annabel, this may be a seasonally quiet time when it comes to liquidity, but on the other hand, the underlying fundamentals for the South African currency and other South African markets remain very weak. In other words, they're being lent upon by a bad economy, and that seems to be the overriding theme.
I think you're right there, Lindsay. You know, when the tide goes out, you tend to see which countries are really exposed in terms of weak fundamentals. And of course, you know, with the global financial market seeing a risk-off period, essentially the tide flowing out, then you obviously see some of South Africa's worries really being exposed. And those obviously coming through, you know, already in the run-up to the medium-term budget policy statement, that mini-budget we get, you know, halfway through the fiscal year, give us an update on government finances. And of course, the great worries around that are Eskom and its financing. You know, what are the issues going to be for South Africa? What's the quantum, you know, of debt that's going to be transferred likely to South African government's balance sheet? And I think, you know, that's really the issue, the expectation that we could see quite a large amount transferred. And Eskom's debt, of course, around about 440 billion. And, you know, up to about 250 billion may well be pushed onto government's balance sheet. Of course, there could be further cash injections as well into Eskom, you know, obviously coming from government coffers, that is taxpayers, and even a debt equity swap, and of course some type of debt restructure. All of these obviously are issues and concerns that, you know, are heightening uncertainty towards South Africa. We've obviously seen marked foreign sell-off of South African government bonds, South African owners own government bonds and equities, and obviously that has also added to the currency's significant weakness. So, you know, some of these concerns in the run-up, you know, seen as, you know, weak fundamentals, really South Africa expected to see a further escalation in its debt and fiscal deficit, and of course increasing the risk of a Moody's credit rating downgrade.
There's also a couple of other issues that are suddenly concerning international investors as well as local investors, and the new one is the debt relief law, which has just been signed into law by President Cyril Ramaphosa. How important is that?
You know, Lindsay, that's been indicated for quite a while now, but obviously, as you said, you know, recently signed in, and that's for really consumers tending to be in the low-income categories and for a certain fixed level of debt. So it wouldn't really be much more than about 50,000 rand where they get debt relief from it. They obviously, this is seen as legislation which could assist or help for individuals who've perhaps fall on economic hard times, perhaps lost their job, and obviously seen greater access into borrowings. And of course, you know, the worries obviously for the banking system is that such write-offs obviously can have a significant impact on the bank's books themselves. So, you know, a number of issues there. But of course, you know, coming through at a time like this where you would see that debt forgiveness, it would likely then, because it is a debt forgiveness, it's not a reduction in obviously your credit records, but actual forgiveness itself, you know, could see some increase in borrowing, people gaining greater access to debt. So, you know, many different factors coming through, but obviously, you know, concern for the banks, because under this debt forgiveness regime, the banks would essentially lose autonomy of their clients' debt, and obviously it goes into, you know, government administration. So, you know, these, I suppose, are some of the uncertainties perhaps that's surrounding the issues at the moment now.
A lot of people also in the last few weeks have been talking about the IMF, and the IMF begging bowl story has been going on for years but has become rarefied in the last few weeks. What is your view on that, given the Eskom scenario that you painted earlier in this interview? Do you think there's any chance that the IMF may be called in at some stage?
I think quite keen perhaps is the IMF's commentary themselves at this juncture. And, you know, the IMF has said very recently, in fact last week, that South Africa is not at the moment in a situation which would require IMF rescue. And indeed that the typical environment in which that happens when you actually go into a balance of payments crisis. So, you know, if we were unable to make payments on our government debt, particularly obviously hard currency, foreign payments, obviously a big issue for us. But of course as well, you know, a number of factors are concerning, and that is that the escalation that we've seen in government debt obviously, you know, brings these concerns to the fore. But really, it's, you know, in terms of an IMF bailout, it's really a situation where you're not actually going to be able to repay the debt, where you actually could default. And, you know, South Africa's not deemed to be in that territory at the moment.
I was watching one of the international television stations this morning, Annabel, and there were two stories, both concerning South Africa. One was slightly positive, the other one was less positive. One was the ongoing land issue, but that need not detain us. Let's talk about the other one, though, and that's to do with Brexit, because there was an analysis, I think, done by a United Nations economic unit, which said these are the countries that will benefit trade-wise if Britain does leave the European Union with no deal. And number one was China, number two was the United States, number three was Japan, number four was Thailand, and not too far behind was South Africa. So in fact, Brexit may be good for South African trade with the United Kingdom.
I think what we certainly would say is that there's been a lot of increased relationship with South Africa in terms of trade. You know, the UK obviously looking to foster deeper trade relationships and, you know, deeper business ties, certainly, between South Africa and the UK. But I think, you know, once again, it'll come to the fact that if we do see a hard Brexit, you know, a strong break away from the EU for the UK, it would then obviously look to foster greater trade relationships and deals with other countries. And obviously, you know, for South Africa, that might well be, you know, beneficial for us. But of course, perhaps you weigh that against some of the negative impact that increased protectionism has against South Africa. If we look at what's happened in terms of the Trump trade wars, we've obviously seen the increased tariffs on steel, on aluminium, and of course, obviously, if the global economy goes into a further slowdown because of these trade tensions, then, you know, obviously the risks even are at the moment that Germany could go into recession. These are all counterbalancing concerns. I think it might be a bit too simplistic to say that South Africa would gain outright in such a scenario.
Trade wars have been going on now for over a year, the trade war between China and the United States of America, and will continue to go on for probably until the end of the year, given the current impasse. But what has jumped from the business pages to the front pages of many newspapers is the recession argument. The yield curve has inverted again. This is the second time it's done it. It did it last year. It went flat again, and now it's back into an inverted state. What do you believe about that? Do you believe that the yield curve is predicting a recession in the United States of America, despite the White House's prognostications that it won't?
Yeah, so we've actually seen, you know, the perception that the yield curve obviously inverting is a harbinger of recession in the United States. And of course, you know, the yield curve itself being the difference between the 10-year government bond and obviously shorter term interest rates in the money markets. Obviously, if your 10-year government bond falls below those of your shorter term money market interest rates, then obviously the yield curve is deemed, you know, or seen as inverting. And of course, you know, some of the reason for this is that we've actually seen concern that the United States might not cut interest rates by as much as needed in the face, of course, of what could be a weakening in U.S. economic growth, a global economic slowdown. So, you know, these are some of the factors that are driving the situation. Of course, obviously, if we do see a situation where it looks like the United States really will go into a recession, then I don't think the Fed would hesitate in terms of cutting interest rates. But at the moment, the U.S. economy is deemed to be doing fairly well. And I think from that perspective, you know, you have this, if you will, a friction between what the markets expect and what's being communicated by the FOMC. Of course, at the economic symposium, you know, the Jackson Hole event that happens annually, the governor of the Federal Reserve Bank, Jerome Powell, is expected to speak on Friday and obviously give greater clarity, give greater insight. You know, since the July FOMC meeting where the Fed did cut interest rates at 25 basis points but also signaled they weren't going into a long downward interest rate cut cycle, since then we've actually seen some data come out from key economies globally, which is showing weakness in those jurisdictions. So I think, you know, markets are anticipating or hoping certainly there'll be a more dovish tone when the governor speaks towards the end of this week.
Yes, indeed. And of course, we do have the FOMC minutes coming out this week as well. What is your instinct, though, given the fact that in December that we were thinking one thing, in other words, interest rates rising, come January, February, we realized that interest rates would be cut, and now people are talking about 2 to 3 cuts from the FOMC of the United States Federal Reserve. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, certainly markets are pricing in about an 80% chance of a cut in the next meeting, which is in September, and then, you know, slightly less than that for October, and then, you know, perhaps around about 50%, although these probabilities do change quite a bit, you know, in terms of the December cut. So, you know, markets are signaling the possibility of these 3 interest rate cuts, perhaps a bit too heady. You know, if we do see another interest rate cut or 2 this year, we think it'd probably be on the back of worsening economic data in the United States, data which hasn't necessarily come through in totem yet. But I do think there's certainly the outside chance for another interest rate cut. You know, what you don't want is to see global financial markets, particularly equity markets, really seeing a very sharp deterioration. You know, obviously last year we saw a near collapse in equity markets. And as a consequence of that, you know, because all the near collapse in equity markets last year, because of the concern that the Fed was obviously hiking more than was anticipated, you know, you don't want to see a repetition of that again this year. That's something that the Federal Reserve Bank does bear in mind quite significantly. You know, what happens in their financial markets.
Annabel, thank you very much for your insight. That's Annabel Bishop, who's the chief economist at Investec in Johannesburg. Thank you for listening to Investec Focus Radio. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendation. Investec Specialist Bank, a division of Investec Bank Limited, is a registered credit provider.